fancy stuff. We're behind the ages where I'm from. So. Kind of a great joy to be here this morning. A place I feel at home. I was thinking a while ago during song service how many trips I've missed this year to Mississippi because of COVID. And while we have a pretty good rivalry and we like to kid each other a good bit about states and stuff, I truly love this place and the people here. And this morning on the drive over, I was thinking of history, the history of the church, the history of the individual churches in different places. I went back when I got here, I looked at the pictures on the walls, the wall there. Asked Brother James, what year this did you say 1883? 87, okay. Where I grew up, it was 1852 and 1883, I believe, where I'm pastoring now. And you think, wow, that's a long time. Then I think about the age we're in now. Brother Mickey in his prayer, praying for this nation. And just if the virus, and I don't want to talk about politics, whichever side you're on, no one's happy. A month ago, certain people weren't happy, now others are. But it is a concern what's going on in this country. But I tell you, we're promised that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And as I've tried to study in the past the history of the church in Scripture and out of Scripture, it's been through some bad times in this world. And it's continued. The Lord told Peter, "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That tells us that when the Lord comes back, His church will be in this earth. In the times of Christ, it was during the Roman Empire. Not a friendly place to the Lord's people. But the Lord blessed. Blessed out of that time for the church to flourish, the church to grow, and to take off. And through the age, as I thought, 1880s, this church was started. All right after a very divisive time in our country. And I think of the history of what these people, as I look on the wall there, what they went through. I'm reminded of the sweet story of Esther. Where Esther, who was the queen, who was a Jew, but she couldn't come before the king except he hold out the golden scepter. And her uncle Mordecai says, "You need to go because they are plotting the destruction of our people." She says, "I can't go. I might die." And he says, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I tell you, I don't want us to say that in a haughty way. I don't want to say it's me, you need to listen to me, but I tell you, Lord, what would thou have me to do in these times? What can I do to serve thee better in the kingdom? Oh, brother prayed that I be blessed this morning not to exalt my own name. Oh, I tell you, when we serve God, we're not seeking self-glory. Oh, but we're promoting the name above all names and serving Him. Songs of Solomon, chapter 1. Verse 5, "I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard I have not kept." I tell you, the child of God, when they see themselves in their natural state, in their fallen state, in their state of depravity. Oh, it's like, don't look at me. Look not upon me. I want to hide from everyone. I don't want people to see the true me. Oh, but the next verse it says, tell me. Oh, you know, I believe the children of God. Oh, there's children of God all over this world, I believe, that aren't as blessed as you are this morning. That they don't know, but they know that deep down inside there's something that their soul is yearning for. What is it, they say? And here she says, tell me. Tell me, O thou, whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where? Oh, I've often flew through this verse to get to the next one. But this morning I said, I'm going to slow down a little bit. And a couple of words jumped out at me in this verse. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. How about a third verse right now? A third word. That one just jumped out at me now. Whom my soul loveth. I tell you, it tells us in 1 John that we love him because he first loved us. Oh, and as I said, there's people in this world that I believe that love God and they don't even know what his name is. You know, that's a foreign concept to many people in this world. Oh, but I tell you, he says in Revelation, I have redeemed a people out of every kindred, tribe, nation, and people. And I messed that up, I'm sure. But basically, he's saying he's got a people everywhere, this world over. He's had a people in every nation, in every tribe, in the Amazons that have not heard the name of Christ preached. A missionary hasn't made it there. I tell you, the Lord's people are there. He's got a people there. I'm glad he's not depending on me to go get him a people. He's got a people. Oh, but while I'm here, O Lord, if thou would have me, may I feed them. If it be thy will, may they be fed. Oh, tell me. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where thou feedest. Here's a place we can come. I tell you, this weekend, we've just been here a day. We got here Friday night, and we hadn't done nothing but eat. And I tell you, it's been good. And y'all got some good food over here, Sister Jenny. Catfish, and we just ate it all. And if I stayed much longer, I wouldn't be able to get through the door when I get home. But I tell you, to get by, to live in this world, we need spiritual food. We need, you know, I thought of Elijah. Oh, Elijah, sometimes we get depressed, don't we, of the condition of this world, of the affairs of this world. Oh, we get what I call Elijah syndrome. We're the only ones. I'm the only one left. Sometimes it's so bad where I'm the only one left. I'm just going to sit under this tree and die. But an angel appeared to Elijah and said, arise and eat. Eat, because you're going to need it, Elijah. I tell you, arise, children of God, and eat. Because, yes, times are bad. But here you can come and get the food that will get you through the week. That'll get you. That'll nourish you and feed your soul. Reading in Exodus about 16, where the manna came. I'll flip over there. I read this in Buttercup. That's a hunting spot over there this yesterday morning. Exodus chapter 16, I think. I was reading this and just thinking on these miracles that they saw. And it wasn't long. They'd be so greatly delivered and blessed, and then a next tribulation would arise. And they'd say, have you brought us out here to die? Were there no graves in Egypt? That's just something that's always stuck with me, that little saying, that they said that. Well, How many times has the Lord delivered me, and it's not long before, well, what's going to happen now? I tell you what, this morning, you know what? Friday, before I came here, I was nervous. I had to preach a funeral. I knew the guy. He was an old distant kinfolk, but I didn't know a single soul at the funeral. Oh, so I'm nervous. I'm not, you know what? The Lord delivered. Once again this morning, I'm like, I don't. Or yesterday, I'm thinking, I don't have anything. This morning, I got something, but I don't know if it's good. I'm just so scared. I'm just nervous. It's like me saying, why'd you bring me here, Lord, to fail here? No. I tell you, the Lord's delivered. He delivered these people time and time again. And here they said, cried out. Saying that, why have you brought us out here to die? And then God gave them manna. I'll start in verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, they lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar of frost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. And he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. That tells me whatever they needed, the Lord gave it. You know, I have seen that. In the miracle of preaching the gospel, I just overthink it so much. All the time, as a matter of fact. There's times when I got a subject on my mind, and I'll be like, well, this is for so-and-so. Whenever this is for, they need to hear this. But this person over here is probably not going to like it. They're probably going to be offended by it. Well, you know what? I get there, the Lord blesses, and it's completely opposite, or the one I thought, oh, she's going to get offended. She says, I saw this and this beautiful thing, and I've never thought of that. And I'm like, well, I hadn't either. I said that. I tell you, the Lord takes it and blesses it to its intended purpose, and He feeds each one individual. It's the miracle and the power of the gospel. I tell you, it is, and it reminds me of the first miracle recorded in Scripture, when the Lord turned the water into wine. Oh, Mary said, whatever He says, do it. And they went, and He says, go and fill the water pots with water. And they did it. And then there was great wine, and the king said, oh, they usually save the, drink the good wine first and say, and when thou art well drunk, bring the bad wine. But thou hast saved the best for last. On it says, they didn't know where it came from, but it says, but the servants knew. Oh, I can just see those servants talking to each other. Says, we just put water in there. I tell you, that's the way it is sometimes. I'm like, I might come and I just one little scripture's been nagging at me, and I'm like, okay, that's the what it is, but what am I going to do with it? And I tell you, the Lord will turn it in. Please know that I'm not trying to puff myself up, but it's all glory to God when a man preaches the gospel. And the Lord takes that and He blesses it and He gives each one what they need. It's a miracle. It is truly a miracle. It's not an accident that the Lord said, you go and show John again the things which you do see, that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. I tell you, it is a miracle. And in this world, oh, I tell you, I can talk about home right now. I'm far enough away. It just pains me whenever I see people whom I love dearly and who I know that they need the gospel so much in their lives. They need to come and feed by the shepherd's tents. They need it, I know, and they just find maybe they got something else to do that day. I tell you, I don't know anything over here, who you are, and if I'm stepping on your toes, you know it's an accident. But I tell you, as a pastor, I see those things at home, and I just want to beg them, please come to church, because you'll get something you need by the grace of God. I tell you, you'll get the food you need there. First Peter. Two. It says, wherefore, we'll start in one. Wherefore laying. I didn't know if I had water or not. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. I'm gonna stop there for a second. And like I said, because of this COVID, I hadn't been to near as many trips as I like to go on. But I've talked to people, and this thing, I tell you, Satan is a divider. And this is a subject right now that'll divide churches, will divide families, and so much. And then you throw in the politics. I tell you, we're in the time of, he's trying to divide, I believe, greatly right now. But here he says, laying aside all this. What we do is different than what you do, but each and individual church, I find doing a little different. I tell you, you got to do what maintains the peace of the church. Let no man think of himself more than he ought. I tell you, let us serve anyway. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And then he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you been fed in the Lord's house before? I tell you, you can indeed say, the Lord is gracious. I tell you, you're eating from the master's table. I'm reminded of old Melchizedek, who was a descendant of Saul. And David had made a covenant with his father, Jonathan. Oh, I tell you, they were dear friends. And then David is king, and he remembered that covenant. Oh, what a beautiful picture in Melchizedek. I love it. And he says, is there any of the house of Saul? They said, there's one. Melchizedek, living in Lodabar, that's it, which means a pastureless country. What y'all think Texas looks like, you know? Just dry and nothing. He says, go and fetch him. I tell you, go and fetch him. And he did. Melchizedek says, who am I but a dead dog that thou should talk to me, that speaks to me? And he said, and you know I'm paraphrasing, putting this together. You're going to eat at my table. I tell you, Mephibosheth couldn't walk. He was lame. And they had to go fetch him. And David says, you're going to sit at the king's table. I tell you, when you come to church and he blesses you to partake, to eat this manna, you're eating at the king's table in this world. And he says here, as newborn babes. You know, I have cattle at home, and was showing Brother James some Marco Polos this week. I guess that was Thursday. Brother Sonny lives in one of the pastures. He called and says, I think you got a cow having trouble calving. So I go over there. My mom goes over there. So, well, I said, let's just watch. We watch. Calf ends up being born fine. So, and I always, every time this happens, I just like to sit there and watch. And all these things just naturally happen. That calf, well, first the mom cleans it off. Then it's not long before that calf is trying to get up. Falls 3 or 4, 10 times. Finally, it sticks and it stands. Then it turns. It turns and it knows exactly where to start putting its nose. Nestling around, and finally it finds the udder. And it goes to feeding. And I see that and it just amazes me. And this is a little off subject, but I hope to tie it in a minute. But it just amazes. I look at that and I'm like, all these things. How can someone say there is no God? How does that calf know to do that? I tell you, it's programmed by God, if you will. Instinct is what we call it. Well, I tell you, God programs, if you will, His children. What does He say in Matthew 5? Blessed he's that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. I tell you, that's a good sign. When we hunger and thirst, maybe it doesn't feel good at the time. In Songs of Solomon, I don't believe this was a pleasant time. When she's crying out, oh, tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest. Where? It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And what does it say then? That you may grow thereby. We need to grow, spiritually speaking. We can get by. We can get by in the good times, maybe being lazy, you know. It's not manifest so much. But there's always experiences that are going to rise up in your lives. And you need to be prepared. You need to be a full-grown Christian, if you will. Well-nourished, as that angel told Elijah. Arise and eat. You're going to need it for the journey. So back to Songs of Solomon. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Rest. That's the other word that came out to me. What does he tell us in Matthew 11:28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Here he says in verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Well, it tells us in 1 Timothy he's not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of sound mind, right? We've been preaching a lot that we don't need to be so scared all the time. But here, he says, let us therefore fear. I think this is kind of a take heed. You need to know that this can happen. Let us therefore fear. lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So he goes now through this. Well, I'll keep reading. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You know, I want people to know that belief does not, that's not what gets you into heaven. Sometimes I worry I hammer down on that too much and discredit, if you will, how important belief is. So much happens. Well, first of all, we're commanded to believe. But so much happens when we believe. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And here it says, we will enter into rest. We which have believed do enter into rest. In the last year, when you watch the news, which don't do too much of, all right? Don't do it all day, every day. Get what you need and go on. I always say if they're telling you the news 24 hours a day, they're going to have to make some of it up. There's some we don't need to know. But don't you get weary in this world. Doesn't it wear you down? Don't you get tired? Just seeing all of the division and the troubles people go through. In a prayer request. There's just grief in this. The Lord says, in this world you shall have tribulation. But he also says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And here he says, for we which believe do enter into his rest. Then, I'm trying to look where I want to go now. Well, I'll just go to 9. I was going to. In verse 9, he's talking about David, he's talking about the children of Israel, those who didn't enter in. But then he says, therefore, remaineth. Therefore, remaineth, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. You know, so many in this world, and it is our nature to do it too, tries to establish their own righteousness. Romans 10 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and then it says, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Going about is busy. That's a busy, just, you got to do this, you got to do that. And then going about, it says, to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. I tell you, when we realize, cease from our own works, not, I'm not saying we don't do works. I'm saying we quit trying to establish our righteousness and know that it is solely upon the righteousness of God. You know what a rest that is? I love to hear the experiences of preachers and others who have come from different orders. Where I pastor now is pastored by Brother Bill Walden, who preached for Sovereign Gracers and Missionary Baptists before. But he never could really find rest in it. And it caused him. He just kept on saying, this isn't right. And he kept digging. And he kept digging. And he studied and prayed. And then the Lord showed him. And I tell you, I believe he found rest when he found the truth. Can you imagine? I forget. I don't know if it was Brother Ricky on Wednesday night or what. But how can someone who thinks that they are able to save someone from hell, how can you sleep at night? But I tell you, we have rest. Because we're not trying to establish our own righteousness. We're completely know that it is His righteousness which saves us. And I tell you, we can rest in that. We can rest. Oh, this is the verse I want. We can rest and then listen to this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. And then he says, let us labor therefore that we may. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It does labor. Let us labor. Therefore, to enter in to that rest. How's that looking? As this one says, tell me whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flocks to rest. Where is that place? She's asking. Where is it? Psalm 27:4. David says, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, that's what I want to do. And you know what? It's my prayer, because I know just like that, it can be gone. I've seen men I counted more faithful than me gone. And it scares me. That's why David says, and that will I seek after. And I tell you, I believe this precious sister here is seeking. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now I want you to remember how she started out. Don't look on me. I'm black. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. All these things. I am black, but comely. Look not upon me. That's how she was viewing herself. But then comes the answer. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. I tell you, I wish that God's people can see themselves how God sees them, as His bride. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Go thy way forth by the footsteps. I tell you, I get little funny pictures in my mind sometimes. You know, the word pictures, I guess. But I tell you, I just see footsteps leading all over this country, this part of the country. I trust there's footsteps leading to Stratton. I trust there's footsteps leading to Bethel. I'm convinced there's footsteps all through these piney woods of people that have sought after the Lord all their lives. No, none of them are perfect. But I tell you, they sought and they sought When the people before them went down, the others lifted up the flag and carried on. I tell you, it's marked. It's not marked where the world's going to see it, but it's a path. There's footsteps. Oh, and we can read through the Old Testament and all the prophets, the law. It's pointing to a day. It's pointing to a day that came when Jesus was born into this world. And I tell you, I believe the path was started, if you will, on the banks of the Jordan River, where John was a baptizing. Then came Jesus to be baptized of him. Oh, but John says, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Oh, but Jesus says, suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I tell you, the path is started right there. Oh, Jesus came to this world first and foremost to redeem His people, to save them from His sins. Oh, but while He was here, He also set up a place for His people to come, for His people to flee into, for His people to seek refuge, for His people to go down and feed at the Master's tent, to feed with the shepherd's flock. Oh, and He was baptized there. Oh, and at that great moment, oh, we have all the Godhead represented. Jesus, the Son, the Word, was baptized, and the Spirit lit upon Him in the form of a dove, and a voice came from heaven, the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Again, that voice would appear to them, would sound to them, if you will, on the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." I tell you, if you want to follow the footsteps of the flock, you want to follow in the footsteps, in the footprints, if you will, of Jesus. You want to follow in the example He has made. And the first example was to be baptized, to join the church, to come into His house. That's where you'll find, where you'll be fed. That's where you'll find the rest that you can't find in all the world. Oh, and I tell you, the Lord, all in His infinite wisdom, He chose Himself, apostles, if you will. Oh, don't you know, who would you choose? Would you choose some old rugged fisherman to start the greatest institution, the greatest kingdom on the earth, if you will? I tell you, that's who the Lord did. He went by the Sea of Galilee and saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and Peter and Andrew. All they were all fishing in different instances. And He chose them. He said, "Follow me," and they followed Him. I tell you, this is the Lord's kingdom. This is the footsteps of the flock. Those are the men. Oh, I think, don't you think of your life in the church? Oh, when I come over here, I think of some great men, some men that I love dearly. Oh, we might say, oh, he was a character. He was a character. He had a person. I tell you, we're all just men. We've got our quirks and our peculiar ways. But I tell you, when blessed by God, He blesses us that we can walk in the footprints, the footsteps of the path, of the flock, pardon me. Then we have Peter. Oh, rough, around the edges Peter. I really like to read about him because I can see myself there. I can see myself some days bold as a lion. And other days I can see myself hiding and warming myself by the fires of the world. But it's such a person that the Lord chose to first preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Then arises Saul of Tarsus. What a character. Who would have ever thought that one such as he would write the majority of the New Testament, would preach, would be the apostle to the Gentiles. But it was the Lord's will. and Lord blessed it and caused it to grow. And I'm just hitting the high spots of the history, early history of the church. The time of Cornelius, back to Peter. Well, he wouldn't even talk, hardly talk to someone who wasn't a Jew. Not lawful. But I tell you, the Lord changed him. And the Gentiles received the gospel. And then he starts writing. Apostle Paul, Peter, James, writing these letters to the churches. I love to study that. It's one of the studies I've tried to go through, is looking in their travels and Acts. And then the letters to the corresponding churches. You know, this morning I thought of this. The letter to Philippi, the church at Philippi, Philippians. When I thought of you. Whenever I come to a place I love so dear, how Apostle Paul wrote them and says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, then you can go back and you can look and you can put a name, put a face with a name, if you will. You know who was the first members at Philippi? Well, he comes to Philippi and there's Lydia, the seller of purple, who was down by the river where prayer was wont to be made. Lydia was special. Then he gets thrown in jail, and there's a jailer that he ends up baptizing him and his whole household. That's the church at Philippi. Now I see when he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And you see all these instances, all these early churches, and they had... You can go look at the letters in Revelation. They had troubles. But they're not here now. I mean, all those, there's no church at Ephesus, Corinth, Laodicea. But I tell you, the Lord has churches, doesn't He? He's got churches set up. And we want to read these. We read these and think about, wow, what great times those were. These times are bad. Why don't we have any of those people now? Well, the Apostle Paul in Hebrews writes a whole chapter on fathers of faith in Hebrews 11. And great examples of faith. And he kind of ends it here about these great people. Then he just starts, you know, saying, in verse 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I could read all this. Verse 39, I'll just skip through that, but it's just great stuff in there. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Brothers and sisters, when we get down about the condition of this world and the things in this world, I want to encourage you to remember that you're living in the best time. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But spiritually speaking, we are living in the times after God has manifest Himself in the flesh. after his son Jesus came and set up his church. Oh, I could just bolt the door and let the world do what the world will do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Then he says in chapter 12, wherefore, after all these great men he's talking about, Abraham, Noah, Moses, and then he lists those, Gideon and Barak and all those. Then he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I tell you, we have a cloud of witnesses. And I used to always think that that's just the ones that have gone on in my life. But I heard Brother Clifford Goins preach a sermon and he changed my mind. It is them. But it's also ones we have today. It's those that we have that we can lean on. Those that help us in our daily walks with God. Those that help us. Oh, I tell you, I think about where in Ephesians 6, where it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, it says, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. But further on down, it says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Oh, I tell you, I see a beautiful thing of that shield of faith and its application in the church of God. I've studied natural history of things of the Spartan army stuff, and they would make a wall, if you will, with those shields. And you'd say, I read that in a book there. It says if they neglected their sword or helmet, they'd get beat. But if they neglected their shield, if they didn't have it at hand's reach, face down, where they could grab it at a moment's notice, they would have to denounce their citizenship. I tell you, our shield of faith is like that, because we can, as a church, we can make a wall, if you will. We all plant our shield in front of us. Oh, I tell you, what a beautiful thing in the Lord's kingdom it is to see. Oh, y'all have every Wednesday night a prayer service. Oh, where you come together and you pray for those. Oh, I've heard some of your trials and some of your troubles. And I tell you, we've had them ourselves. And what a great comfort it was to know that we had a people praying for us all over this country. The Lord's people going to their master to beseech them on their behalf. I tell you, that's the Lord's church, and that's the power of the Lord's church. Oh, it comes up before the Lord, it says, as a sweet-smelling savor whenever our prayers come up before Him. Oh, I tell you, friends, don't ever neglect this wonderful church that the Lord has blessed us with. May we always seek to press into His kingdom. Oh, He says, wherefore, seeing we also passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I'm out of time, but let me just finish this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you, the footsteps of the flock from the very beginning have been looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If your daddy showed you the way at this church, if it was an uncle, if it was someone else, I tell you, if they did it right, they were looking unto Jesus. And as John the Baptist said on those banks, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I tell you, that's how the footsteps of the flock were started. And the footsteps that go on today are beholding the man and beholding the Lamb of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.